Well, it has been a great time of worship thus far. It's always great to hear the kids. They did a great job. I just want to give a special thank you. I know Agnes, I think Justin and Marina helped out with coordinating that, and many parents as well. So thank you for doing that. They did a great job, and I know we have a special song to close out our service later on, where we might see a few more special performances. So it's great to be together, though, for our Christmas service. If you didn't notice, this is our Christmas service. We've got poinsettias. That's your clue. That's the indicator. It's a special day. We want to celebrate Christmas together, as was mentioned. Next week, we won't be here. The building is closed and unavailable the next 2 weeks. So we're not going to be here. That's why we're going to be at the Community Presbyterian Church, CPC, in Deer Park next week. So that'll be, again, at 1 p.m. We won't be here at 10 a.m. That's our regular midweek location. So you can just head over there at 1 p.m. for our regular worship service. And then the following week, again, as was mentioned, we are going to have house churches. So we'll have some smaller church services happening in people's houses. If you don't know what that is, that's basically what it is. So we'll take some time together on New Year's Eve day to worship God and to take communion together and fellowship together on the 31st. So that'll be our plan for the next couple of weeks. We won't be here until the new year. So say Happy New Year to the building on your way out if you feel the need to do so. But we're going to look in Luke chapter 2 this morning, so you can turn there together. We're going to just look at a few passages, really mostly in Luke 2 this morning. And we're going to begin in verse 8. It was great to have Danny kind of set it up with his welcome. We looked in Luke 2 already, but we're going to look a little bit later in verse 8 to continue on there. The title of the message this morning is Good News of Great Joy for All People. Good news of great joy for all people. And really, that's what we're talking about, joy. Great joy. That's what Christmas is all about. You know, sometimes in the busyness of the season, or even as we were just talking, the maybe memories of the past or things that can come up to get in the way of really experiencing the true joy of Christmas. And so we want to take a few moments this morning just to really be reminded of the idea of what we're celebrating, the fact that Jesus, God sent his son Jesus into the world to come and live a perfect life and ultimately die on the cross for your and my sins so that we could have a path of salvation to God and to heaven for eternity. So we're going to look at the beginning of that story in Luke chapter 2, the beginning of Jesus' life, and we'll look in verse 8. It says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." And we'll pause the story right there. This is the story of not only the birth of Jesus, but really some of the first interactions that he's having outside of with his parents on the earth. And he's getting visited by shepherds. And we really can learn a lot from these shepherds. We're going to look at them and their interaction with angels of God and their interaction with Jesus to really see what we can learn about the joy of Christmas and experiencing the joy that they did. The first thing that they did, the first point this morning that we need to do as well, is embrace the need that sent him. Embrace the need that sent Jesus. You know, it's good news. That's what was told to the shepherds, that this is a message of good news. There's good news going on today. But there was a reason for the good news. There was something before the good news, the bad news that needed to bring the good news. And that's really what the shepherds embrace. That's what the shepherds hear. A Savior has been born. That's what the angel declares. A Savior has been born, and that's important. Because Christmas has become about a lot of things, right? It's become about many, many different things to a lot of different people. It's not about reindeers. Reindeer. I don't know if there's an S on the end of that. It's not about trees. It's not even about traditions or family or receiving or giving. And some of those things are great. They can all be good things. But primarily, Christmas is about saving. Christmas is about saving, about how we needed and need saving. Nothing less, nothing short of being saved. That's the good news. It's that you needed something and God provided. And that thing was saving. Now, without God providing the good news, that's actually bad news. That we're in a situation needing saving. And that's why I say we're starting with a little bit of the bad news. God looked down and saw the need. He recognized, he embraced our need and sent Jesus. But what the shepherds needed to do and what we all need to do this morning is really take stock in our hearts and make sure, are we still embracing our need that brought Jesus to the earth? Our need for God to save us. You know, if you imagine all the people who are celebrating Christmas in the next week, and just think about if they really all embrace that. If we all really just kind of cleared our minds and our hearts and our time and our energy of all the different things that Christmas can be about and really just embrace this concept. Wow, I need saving. I need to be saved. It's a unique time and opportunity because in our culture, everyone's celebrating Christmas. I mean, not everybody, but the majority of people are celebrating something. But not everyone is connecting with this, the most important piece. That what this is really all about is a Savior has been born. Exactly what's proclaimed to the shepherds. These shepherds did embrace the fact that they were helpless. That their situation was one that they couldn't change. That was what God was communicating to them. And really, that's what it means to need saving, right? To be in a position where you're totally helpless, where you need outside intervention. And that's what God is communicating when he says a Savior has been born. But those situations, they scare you a little bit. If you've ever been in a helpless situation, I was telling this story that I'm about to tell to a couple of guys yesterday, and they asked me, well, when's that going to make it into the sermon? I said, well, probably tomorrow. And it did find its way in there. But being helpless is a scary thing. I was at a meeting on Friday. Anyone else get caught in the snow on Friday driving? Yeah, a handful of us. Okay. I was at a meeting in Secaucus, New Jersey, which typically takes, you know, with regular traffic, not in rush hour traffic, about an hour and 15 minutes to get to. It's our church office. It's where Agnes goes every morning. I pointed there, but Agnes is not there. I don't know where she went. There you are. Thank you. Amen. You blended in with the seats, with your lovely Christmas red. So Secaucus is where our church office is for the whole New York metropolitan area. And so we had a meeting there on Friday. The meeting was at 10:30. It ended around 1. But then I decided, oh, I could probably get lunch, you know, kind of factoring rush hour and wanting to, you know, make it back before that begins. So I decide, okay, I'll get some lunch with a few of the guys. So we got lunch. And now I'm really pushing it. You know, it's getting on to 3 o'clock, and I already probably put myself in a bad situation with that. But I get in the car, and I realize, oh, yeah, that's right. On the way here this morning, I was running really low on gas. The gas light came on, and I kind of pushed it to make sure I'd make it on time to the meeting. So, okay, no big deal. I'll just stop and get gas on my way home. And I knew of a rest area, you know, on the way to the George Washington Bridge right there on 95, and I thought, okay, it's about 15 minutes away. The gas light's been on for about 5 minutes of the way here, but I could probably make it. I'll be okay. So I push it, and I made it to the gas station. It was fine, and I prayed a little bit on the way, honestly. I said, God, come on, help me to make it there. And I got there, and I was very excited. I was encouraged. And I get in the parking lot of the gas station, and I realize that I'm missing a very critical part of the equation to getting gas, which is my wallet. And I look all around the car and realize, no, I didn't bring my wallet that day. And I should have realized because one of the brothers had to spot me for lunch. And so here I am in Secaucus, New Jersey, at a rest area with probably less gas than I've ever had in my car before, not knowing when I'm about to run out. And so I think, well, it's not too bad. You know, I've got people who live, my brother lives 20 minutes away, although he's probably still at work in the city. I've got friends who live about 20 minutes away. Maybe they're close by. They could drive over some money and let me borrow. So I look down at my phone, and my phone has about 10% battery left. And, of course, no car charger to be seen in the car. The plot just kept thickening and thickening, and the feeling of panic starts setting in a little bit. I'm pretty even-keeled, and I'm pretty resourceful, so it takes a lot to really get me nervous and worried, but I was getting there. I was sitting in the parking lot going, okay, let's evaluate here. What do we have? No charger, no battery, the phone is dying by the minute, the car is running out of gas by the minute, and the snow is getting heavier and traffic is getting worse by the minute. So I'm sitting in the car, it's about 3:20 at this point, and I was texting with Tiffany, because calling, I thought, would drain the battery faster. I thought, well, I've heard of Apple Pay. Maybe I can figure something out with that. And so I look on my phone with my last few ounces of battery trying to figure that out. Of course, my phone isn't new enough to be able to use Apple Pay. It's an iPhone 5, and apparently it's not compatible. So that didn't work. I see I have some iTunes money, and I think, well, maybe I can barter with somebody for gas somehow. I don't know. Is that even possible? And I'm trying to be resourceful. So Tiffany, thankfully, my wise, loving wife, texts me and says, well, hey, you're only 15 minutes away from the church office. Why don't you go back and see if Agnes has some cash that she could loan you? And I thought, wow, that's a great idea. But then I started wondering, well, I didn't think I was going to make it here. Am I going to make it back and back with gas money? So I really thought, I kind of looked at my options and thought, well, I don't really have any. That's my only play right here. So I, again, prayed all the way, made it to the church office. Not only did Agnes loan me money, but she loaned me a car charger, which was awesome. So in that moment, I experienced what it meant to have a Savior in Agnes. That was just the total relief set in. We can clap for Agnes. I was so encouraged. I felt like, man, I've got gas money. I've got a car charger. I'm going to be okay as long as I make it to the gas station, which I did, thankfully. But you've been, well, I hope you haven't been in that situation, but you've been in situations like that. Oh, and I was never happier to sit in traffic on the way home, actually. I was perfectly content, even though it took 3.5 hours to get home by the time I left. It was 4 o'clock when I actually left Secaucus, and I walked in my door at 7:30. So learned the lesson there. But I was definitely feeling it a little bit of the panic, a little bit of the helplessness. Just totally, like, I'm out of options. I need someone to help. I can't do this alone. I don't know what I can do. And this is kind of the spiritual situation that all of us at some point need to embrace and really need to continue to embrace. The fact that God sent a Savior means that you need one. It means that on your own, you don't have enough. Your resources are tapped. Your tank is on E. And you got nowhere to go. Jesus was God's deliberate, intentional salvation plan for the world. When we were hopeless, when we were helpless, and the shepherds really were a unique group to kind of be taught that. Because if you look at shepherds and who they were back in the first century, they really were just kind of looked down upon by the religious people of their day, partly because their lifestyle, tending their sheep, it made it really difficult for them to kind of keep up with all the different religious traditions and the different ceremonies and things that they had to do. It didn't really correspond to their schedule. So actually, they were looked down upon religiously by the Jews. They were also kind of thought of as the common man. You know, they weren't really, you know, these high echelon society people. They were just kind of, okay, you're doing a little lowly job of tending sheep out in the field. And so if there was anyone who really didn't have anything to lean on as far as spiritual standing, the shepherds were a great group for God to kind of reveal this to. They didn't have anything when it comes to self-righteousness. They had nothing to turn to. I mean, they weren't even good enough by their society standards, their religious community standards. They had nothing to lean on. They were in touch with their sinfulness, with their need for a Savior. What's also interesting about shepherds in this particular area is that it's likely that these shepherds were the ones providing the sheep, actually, for the sacrifices in the temple in Jerusalem. It's pretty incredible. I was reading a bit of the scholars' opinions on that, and it's not definite, but it's likely that the sheep that they were tending were ones that at the temple every morning and night would be sacrificed for the people's sins. And so it's an amazing thing. These guys were totally in touch with their need, but also everyone's need for forgiveness. That sacrifice needed to be made for forgiveness. And so Jesus came to them. The angel spoke and said, "A Savior has been born." Jesus came to save us. We've got to do two things. We've got to remember first that we needed saving. That if you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus, you've got to really remember and embrace the fact that life was never better before you became a Christian. It was not. I mean, the things that sometimes Satan can use to make us think that it was, it's not true. We were desperate. We were hopeless. We were helpless. Not even close to good enough on your own. And you've got to really connect with the fact that I have no benefit in going back. I'm never going back. You need to embrace that. You need to tell yourself that and pray about that and really have a conviction that I'm never going back to that life. But we also can lose sight, I think, of the fact that we still need saving. That we're not good enough on our own still. I don't know about you, but I can sometimes fall into this mindset. You know, you let yourself lose sight of the fact that every day I actually still need to be saved. That on my own, I'm nothing. That apart from Jesus, if he chose to stop saving me today, that I'd be helpless. If he pulled back his grace, that I'd be done. Now, we can be encouraged that the Bible says he doesn't do that if we don't choose to walk away from him. But the fact is, if it were up to us still, however long you've been a Christian, it's all because of God's grace. It's all because he chose to give us a Savior. If you let yourself drift away from a flotation device in the middle of a chaotic, wavy, windy, stormy ocean, you still need saving. Maybe you're okay as long as you're holding on, but what happens when you let go and you start drifting? It's the same thing for us. As Christians, you're close to God, you're walking with Jesus, you're holding on to that life preserver, you're doing all right. You're going up and over the waves. You're making it through this life. But the second we start letting go, what do we expect? Those waves are going to push us. You're going to be tossed places that you didn't want to go. Now, you don't need to be saved all over again, but you need to swim back to the flotation device. You got to get connected again with that Savior in Jesus. Acts chapter 3, verse 19, you don't need to turn there. It says this: "Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." Turning back to God, repenting, and being done with your sin, it brings refreshing. Sometimes we don't believe that. Sometimes you're wrestling with sin, you're hiding sin, and it just feels too hard to deal with. It feels too hard to turn back to God, to swim back to that life preserver, because you don't believe this scripture. I experienced this in my life. Out of fear, we hold on to sin. We don't come clean. We don't talk about how we're doing. Fear that you'll look bad. Fear that refreshing would be the last word that you would describe for how that experience would go. But this is what we do if we really see our need for Jesus. You've got to evaluate. Where am I at with this? Do I still embrace my need for saving? After that meeting, actually on Friday, I was getting lunch with Phil, a brother who used to lead the church here, actually. Many of you know him. But we were getting lunch and we just talked. And you know, last week I was sharing a little bit in my message about the need for connection and how I felt personally convicted by the fact that, you know, I really need to invest more in these relationships, that I need to have deeper connection with my brothers in Christ. And so we got lunch and I just talked. I tried to be as open as I could be about where I was at in walking with God and being, you know, close to God in my prayer time and reading my Bible and you know, how I was doing, how I was feeling about my godly ambition versus selfish ambition, how I was feeling in my laziness and my organization and all the different topics we talked about, lustfulness, all the things that I could think of. I just thought, I want to be as open as I can right now. And I was very, actually, as close as I am to Phil, I was still a little bit nervous about that conversation. I really couldn't buy in to this scripture. But I was so encouraged after that. I came home and I was telling Tiffany, that was just such an encouraging conversation because I did. I felt refreshed. I felt like, wow, I'm where I need to be again. I just feel totally close to him. I feel connected to him. And obviously I need to first be close and connected to God. But I've got people who know me. I've got people who know my life. There's nothing hidden. Here's where I'm at. And he was so gracious. He was so encouraging. We just talked. He shared some things that he's going through. I felt like, wow. And we know this, but Satan still uses it. He still puts that fear and that doubt. No, you're going to be judged. No, they're not going to understand where you're at. We all need to embrace the fact that we're not getting any less sinful or any less needing to be saved, I should say. Salvation is something that's given. It's not something we can earn. No matter how self-righteous we feel, God sent Jesus because he recognized the need that we all had. The shepherds had no self-righteousness, and it helped them be the ones to hear this from God. They were in touch with their own sin, and they also knew the system for sacrificing for sin really well. And I believe that's why God came to them and said, look, you're going to get the significance of this moment. You're going to understand and appreciate what I'm doing here. And they get to go see Jesus, the baby lying in the manger. Are we still in touch with the cost of our sin? Do we, like the shepherds, connect with the idea that we need saving? That as much as we needed saving, we still need saving. Can I get an amen on that? We need saving. Jesus continues to save each and every day. Let's not run from that reality. Let's not run from that truth. Let's embrace that truth and just take the refreshing that God wants to give us as we continue to turn back to him. The second thing that we see in this, after they embrace the need that sent Jesus, is they celebrate the solution that he provides. You know, the angels come to them, and you can imagine being out in the middle of a dark field and just some incredible light coming out and angels and singing and loud voices. I mean, we have movies where stuff like that happens. These guys didn't have that. I mean, this is a brand new, even in a fictional sense. They couldn't even comprehend what was happening. And the angels still, you know, hey, don't be afraid. don't be cowering in fear. This is a good thing. But I think I'd be a little bit afraid too if I were them. That's understandable. He says, I bring good news of great joy. The good news should bring great joy. But only when we understand the first side of things, that we need a Savior. It's not good news to people who don't need a Savior. If you don't need Jesus, then this isn't really going to help you at all. This isn't good news to you. This won't bring you great joy. And you'll miss Christmas. You'll miss the point. You need saving. But it doesn't stop there. God provides a solution that brings great joy, and we need to celebrate that the problem was solved. You know, we see in the Christmas story, everybody rejoices, right? You see, Mary actually sings a song, you know, about how incredible this gift is that God has blessed her with. And we have that recorded in the Bible. We see when Mary goes to spend time with who would then be Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist, still in his mother's womb, the baby actually leaps when Jesus' presence is felt. There's celebration about this. The shepherds too. Verse 20, it says they were glorifying and praising God. What's the appropriate response to Jesus entering the world? That's the appropriate response. And Christmas is a time to do that, but always is a time to do that. Jesus entered the world 2,000 some years ago to save you and me. That's great news. That should bring great joy. You know, we have traditions, we have busyness, we have traveling, we have shopping, we have family drama. All that comes at this time of year. But are you celebrating the solution that God provided? Are you celebrating Jesus? Are those things centered on Jesus? Is your mindset centered on Jesus? It gets chaotic. I'm learning that with a child. It gets crazy trying to visit relatives and people in different states and, you know, all the things that come with buying presents, and it's nuts. But this is a unique opportunity where the whole country essentially stops and gives us an opportunity to just celebrate Jesus. Don't miss that. Let's not miss out on that incredible opportunity that God gives us. It's a time of great joy. Let's center it on Jesus. I know I mentioned earlier, maybe there's painful memories at this time. Maybe there's missing loved ones. And obviously, it's okay to hurt, but we need to make sure we're still taking this to God. That whatever we feel, whatever we're wrestling with, let's bring it to God. Because the truth is, the situation, it's going to be there next year and the year after that. I mean, these are things that we're going to have to deal with eventually. And God wants you to bring it to Him. God wants you to bring Him your hurt. It says it's a time of great joy. And I know that might be hard. I understand that. I know it might be easy to have some joy and to not feel like it's great joy. You know, for Tiffany and I, the last 2 years, we've lost a number of family members. And I don't have all the answers to that. You know, that's still not a totally easy thing to think about. And I wish I had more answers to encourage you with about why that happens. But the truth is, we're always going to have hard things. And God's always going to want to be the place we run. God's always going to want to be the person we go to with that. The way that I can be joyful is to understand that I don't have to deal with this alone. I don't have to experience this alone. I don't have to just think about these things. I can talk to an ever wise and knowing and powerful God about these things. That I can be a part of His spiritual family and get encouragement and get strength. That I can get my arms lifted up. And that I can get the support that He wants me to have. And, most importantly, I can have the hope that I know that this suffering won't last forever. That the pain you feel doesn't last forever. That this life isn't going to last forever. And that we're going somewhere better in Christ. Amen? Amen. Let's let it be a season of great joy. Let's close out here. Verse 10. It says, this is good news that will cause great joy for all the people. And that's the last point. It's for all the people. God's done something incredible in sending Jesus. He wants us to remember that we need saving. That you're not good enough on your own. That we'll drown apart from Him. But that He provided a solution. And that should give us great joy. But it's not just for us. It's for all people. Look what the shepherds did in verse 17 as they really demonstrated this. It says, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about the child. They didn't keep it to themselves. They let others know immediately what had been heard, what they had heard about Jesus. You know, they were, I believe, following orders here. You know, that was essentially what they were told to do. But I also believe they were excited, that they were overwhelmed with what had just happened, what they had seen and heard. You know, it says they look at each other and kind of decide, okay, let's go to Bethlehem. I think that conversation could have gone a lot of ways. Like, hey, did you just see that? did that really just happen? What was that? You want to just pretend that didn't happen and people not think we're crazy? Because that was nuts, and no one's going to believe that. That was weird. No, instead they embraced the truth of, no, this is God speaking. We need to do something. This is an incredible opportunity. And it says they go and talk about it. They go find Jesus and tell them, look, this is what we've heard about him. I think about when Tiffany delivered Logan and we were sitting in there in the hospital room. Can you imagine, like, if, for those of you who've delivered babies, being in the hospital and having some strangers who look like they've been out, you know, in a field for weeks, just barge in, say, hey, we got to tell you about your baby. We saw a vision. I'd probably be like, security, get these crazy people out. That's what they were doing, though, right? They didn't know Mary. They didn't know Jesus. They just showed up and said, look, we got a message from the Lord. I mean, who are these people? You know, find the nearest staff and get them out of here. I don't know. You know, that was crazy. Think about the situation they were in. Hey, go to these strangers and tell them about their newborn baby who's been here for a second. Tell them these crazy things that you've heard from God. It took boldness. It took guts. It took courage to do what they did. It's hard to spread the word, to really embrace what God says, that it's for all people, that this gospel isn't just for you or me or all the people in this room, but that it's for all people, the whole earth. It takes guts. It takes courage. Ephesians 6:19, Paul says this, pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. That phrase, make known, right in there, that's actually the same phrase that is used to the shepherds when it says for them to go and tell all people. Fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. That's what Paul wants to do. You know, I believe their situation is similar to ours this Christmas. There's already attention drawn to Jesus, right? Mary and Joseph, they knew they had something special. They didn't know everything, but they understood they had something special there. And we're in a unique time where really all of the world, to some degree, is recognizing, hey, we need to honor this event, this moment, when Jesus was born. To some degree, everyone knows about Jesus. We've got a unique opportunity to capitalize, to make known the truth, to make known the full truth of what God has told you through his word about who Jesus is. Will we capitalize on the opportunity? Will we fearlessly make known the gospel? It's my encouragement to us. As we go into the new year, we have a couple weeks left where the world is going to be stopped and focused on Jesus. Let's take advantage of the opportunity with boldness, like the shepherds did and like Paul longed for in this scripture. Because people need to hear. People need real joy. People are looking for something to be joyful about. There's enough negative things being told and passed around and proclaimed. Let's embrace the joy of this season. Let's really take advantage of the opportunities God's given us to not only know the joy ourselves, but make it known for all people as he intended. Amen.